I'm Andrew.
I'm Scott.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Weekly Geek Speak.
I always wanted to play.
It never does, though, does it?
No, it doesn't. Well, it did. It did if we give up to the conceit that we don't edit
there is an editing process. Hello, welcome to Weekly Geek Speak. We are a weekly geek podcast. We entertain you, hopefully, every week, talking. Well, it's been a bit slack recently, but we've been busy. I'm undermining every sentence as I go. It's pretty cool.
Damn it.
So, let's roll it back. Welcome to Weekly Geek Speak. This is a weekly geek podcast coming roughly every week to entertain you. We can be found on weeklygeekspeak.com. That's the home of all of the geekness from Weekly Geek Speak. And you can find us on Twitter at Weekly Geek Speak, on Facebook, facebook.com/weeklygeekspeak, and Instagram. And if you want to subscribe to get the episodes first dropping in your ears, go on Stitcher, Spreaker, Podcastland, or iTunes, and they're all there waiting for you merrily. It's been a while.
It's like dangling some heroin under a covered a junkie's nose. That it was like, I've sworn off stained humour.
Okay.
So you won't get me with that.
No. Damn.
My new rule: no stained humour, no creed humour.
Okay.
I can't promise the Limp Bizkit jokes have completely gone.
All right.
Apollo Creed.
My sacrifice.
Oh, okay.
No, when you are with me,
just keep
rolling. I'm free.
keep rolling.
I had that album.
Rolling.
Chocolate, yeah. Starfish, and the hot dog
flavored water. Yeah.
Which... I'm still convinced that song got so big because of The Undertaker.
Really?
That's what it came out to in WWE.
I didn't know that.
He changed his dead man persona to be more of an American badass.
Right.
So he came out to Kid Rock, American Badass, which I got as well. I bought that.
Okay. Yeah, I used to like Kid
And then Rock. Changed to Rollin' Limp Bizkit.
Okay.
And then it kicked off, everywhere. And then everyone loved it.
Huh?
Yeah, some
wrestling facts.
Wrestling nips.
Wrestling.
Cool. Well, I thought we'd start the podcast with a bit of a movie review, because we have actually, even though all the singing and dancing and all the run-up to Batman vs. Superman, we've actually just had a Batman movie.
We have.
Oh, you did.
The Lego Batman movie.
You don't know if I've watched it.
You have watched it.
You've seen it.
I have watched it. But we haven't talked about that off air. You just presumed.
Scott, we haven't talked about anything off air.
I know.
But you said it's so
We've
confident.
We've all been off radar.
You said it's so confident.
I think the first thing I heard from you since I last saw you is, I'm on the toilet masturbating.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, that's true.
And that was about an hour ago.
It'd been non-communicado for 3 weeks, and then I thought I'd update you.
Obviously, the important thing is.
You look very relaxed.
Zen. Centered.
I wasn't really. I was in a taxi. Masturbating.
That's what you're supposed to do in there. Beats awkward conversation.
Exactly.
Well, beats is the opposite word, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Let's start with Steve.
I know I take over these discussions, so I'm just going to let it happen.
Ironically, you just overtook my introduction to Steve.
My opinion is gone.
So let's
have you
go
got an opinion?
To,
like Steve was saying, more of my opinion. Continue.
Oh, I've missed
Steve.
This.
No, honestly, though. So, like, because we're not, like, we're not recording in a while, and I've been too busy, but the other day I got, like, quite... Not nostalgic, because that implies we're in the past and we don't do it anymore. But I got a bit like, oh, I've missed it. So I listened to a few old podcasts. And my head's not in a good place at the minute. So you can't listen to yourself when your head's not in a good place.
No, God, no.
So I put it on, and every other thing, it was like, and I interrupt. Me. And as I was saying, me. What do you think, Steve? Yeah, me. More me. Yeah, me.
So the cycle of self-loathing.
Yeah, so I'm trying not to.
The cycle of loathing.
But yeah, it's anyway, very interesting.
My opinion about... no, go on, Steve.
I really enjoyed it.
No, no, I'm joking.
Do you want to just put your hand in there and use me as a puppet? No, I thought it was brilliant. I thoroughly enjoyed every minute of it. I think the beauty of it was that the Lego movie took everyone by storm and was genuinely funny and brilliant and clever with all the cameos. This took that, did the same thing, but then it appeals to people on that level, but it appeals to people on a Batman level because the references and in-jokes and characters and... just was incredible, and the songs were brilliant, the humour. I think there were three or four points where I was in tears laughing, because I went in just thinking, okay, it's going to be a funny Lego movie, and genuinely blown away by how clever and brilliant and funny Lord and Miller's writing of the it just worked so well on a geek, on a geek level, on a just children watching a Lego movie, and appealed to all ages basically, and I just loved it, and I thought it was a really solid 8/8/9 at the time, but yeah, it's a really solid 8.
So much time's passed.
No, you know, yeah, but you know when you come out, you go, that was a 9, it was brilliant, and you think, then you were quietly reflect. It was just a really solid, entertaining 8 that made me laugh. Great story, and just great homage to Batman as well as being
it was a huge accolade to it that not only is it a great kids film, it's a great family film, and it's a great Batman film. You know, it's a real love letter to Batman, and Batman especially through televisual and cinematic media, and even jokes beyond that, and some real love letters. I mean, the guy who was going to be cast the guy who was cast as Harvey Dent voices Two-Face,
Billy D. Williams,
that never got a chance to do it. All the references to that. I mean, there's a great line about the Joker and Two Boats, and I think it's amazing.
I like that one.
There's loads of real stuff.
Bane was my favourite character.
But that's it. It was a funny, they take those kind of characters and mix them. I mean, that was both comics Bane and Bane from the movies and things, and they make these kind of pseudo characters, which is the first 15 minutes was just fantastic. It was crammed full of Batman. It was like a Batman nerd's dream, and then it just goes really great from there. It's funny, and I want to watch it again so I can pick up on more references.
Same.
I'm going to count it as a Batman film because it is a Batman film, and it would be pretty high up on my Batman film list actually, because I just think it's such a it's a piss take, but it's so loving and it's so true, and from comics to games to movies to even the 60s Batman, even before that, you know, it's still so entertaining. But yeah, that's my view. I'd sit next to Steve and say 8 out of 10.
Yeah,
like I am sitting next to Steve saying 8 out of 10.
Yeah, you will literally do.
Imagine this for a moment.
Imagine, if you will, this preposterous set of events. No, you both touched on it really eloquently. It's about my love letter. I love the fact we're at a point you can do that for a mainstream audience, because there was a time you could do that sort of thing, but it'd be incredibly niche, even for someone as big as Batman, just like doing a love letter sort of Joker font based on all the mainstream media adaptations of a single character. But at a point, Batman's so ingrained and comic book movies have come that far, you can put something out there like this, which is a family-friendly version that sends up all of his history.
Yeah.
That's amazing to me. And it's really fun, and it's really good. I think the opening's great. I think it's great jokes. It's a strong 7/8 film. I think it lacked just a bit more heart than the Lego Batman movie had.
Oh, okay.
And I think there was too many cameos, specifically non-Batman cameos, that I felt were trifle necessary. Fine, cool, it's not criticism. I just thought you're playing with hundreds and God knows how many DC characters you want to play with in this, and you're showing me this, that and the other. It's a bit unnecessary. And I felt, I don't know if this is just like being a bit Batman hipster, I felt they could have gone deeper with more villain jokes and more villain exposure and stuff like that. But for what it is, because, you know, be really successful. There might be Lego Batman 2. It didn't have to accomplish everything in the world ever. It's a really good film, really fun. Mm. The love's dripping throughout it, the charm's all there. It's genuinely funny, and it's a solid, cool Batman film. You can introduce Batman to your kids with, and then they might have some questions about this, that, or the other, and you can ease them into the live action ones.
Nice.
So it's good. Loved it.
Nah.
Sweet.
Mm.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Was good.
So we're going for a kind of. We're going on 8 across the board, would you say?
Yeah.
Okay.
I genuinely think it's a 7, but everyone likes what it's about, so it's an 8, if that makes sense.
So it's a triple.
Like,
8.
As a film, I'd give it a 7 if I was trying to be objective, but I'm not objective, and I like Batman, so it's probably an 8.
And I think it's, you can say what you like about where superhero movies are going, and maybe they are, but it is allowing for things like this, Deadpool and
definitely.
Suicide Squad to exist.
In the past, just over a year, I've watched Batman in a cinema, and a few of these are animated, obviously, but I've watched Batman films in a cinema. I've watched Batman, Superman, Suicide Squad, Return of the Caped Crusaders, Killing Joke, bloody Lego Batman.
Mm.
And I'm seeing him in Justice League and maybe Wonder Woman. And that's 7 films in 2 years. And I used to have to wait 4 years. I once waited
and
between 97 and 2005 just for one. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No complaints here.
Good time we live in.
Bits I bought a wireless charger the other day.
How was it?
If you want to charge a Samsung phone wirelessly because your USB port broke...
Mm.
That's recommend that.
Yeah. Bought some No Fear trainers the other day.
And
in
have
the sale.
You
they
have
comfy.
You experienced any fear whatsoever since wearing those trainers?
I've worn them twice and I felt no fear whatsoever.
Comfortably
they
numb.
Were good.
Comfortably
yeah.
numb.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, bought some socks that don't
they
give
nice.
You blisters.
They don't give
nice.
You run.
Oh, that's good.
Ooh. I hate
are they padded in special areas?
They are 2 skin.
Oh.
Oh.
And then you put 2 sets on.
What?
Yeah, I've got too many socks on.
Your feet get too hot and then you get blisters.
I used to have 4 skin once. Instead of 2 skin. Cause it's like
the Joker
a penis.
Kind of did, but...
Yeah, yeah. I know, but I like to really hit that.
Scott loves the penis.
Oh, I'm guilty of that. There's always one, isn't there, when you're having a joke, and then you slip in a subtle one, and then someone always goes, ha, tits, or something. They're like, they just, like, completely get rid of all, like, new
all
ones.
Subtlety.
Yeah,
yeah. It just goes.
Or you say your subtle joke, and they just lean in and go, tits.
Or you say a subtle joke that's that subtle... Like kind of what I just did, where they retell the joke as if they've come up with it, when you're like, no, you just heard me, because I was leading you there, because that was the joke.
It's like when people re-say the same thing that you just said.
Kind of like when people
like, you know, when
really annoy
you.
That's
what I just said.
By trying to pick out your quirks, which I would never do to him. Would never do that to him, because I respect you.
Oh, dear.
And do I get it back?
Steve, you said you've read some graphic novels.
I have.
Go.
I read Brian Lee O'Malley's Seconds.
I've read this.
Which is really nice. It's one I've wanted to read for ages, and I actually had the time to sit and read it. I loved it. It was just a really sweet little story. I think everything he's done is lovely, and I love his art style, and I love his storytelling. But Scott Pilgrim, just after Scott Pilgrim, where'd you go from there, really? And I just think it was a nice little story about the restaurant... And the mushrooms and turning back time and things and being able to change incidents in your life, which I thought it covered really well, and it was just sweet. But I don't know, Scott Pilgrim's just still the best thing he's done. I've just got Snot Girl as well, which I'm really excited to read because I read the first issue and thought that was great. So I thought I'd wait till the graphic novel came out. So I've got that sat ready to read. So I can thoroughly recommend Seconds. I enjoyed it. What, did you like it?
I really liked it because it felt really different and it was different but familiar at the same time. It definitely had to do with the look and style of what you wanted it to be, really.
Yeah.
But it definitely had that Brian Lee O'Malley kind of feel even in the writing. But the weird thing about when you read Scott Pilgrim again is I don't know if I feel a bit of a disconnect now, whereas I used to feel connected to it in the sense of,
you see, I've never gone back.
The young kind of, yeah. It feels the younger, and actually you do read a lot of the characters, I think, in Scott Pilgrim aren't particularly nice characters, if you really think about it. But it deals with reality. They don't have to be nice characters. It deals with real relationships in an overthinking sense. Seconds really gets to the core of this kind of unassuming kind of person who's trying to make it in life, who's trying to just edge their way and make their own little groove in life. They own a restaurant, and then there's all the brilliant thing which he does is he creates this little demon character and this, that, and the other. And it's all just like Scott Pilgrim. It's all metaphor and things for real life. Yeah. But this kind of just takes it down to a more different level, which I really like.
Yeah,
it's hard to explain yourself.
It's like if you come home after a bad day and you think, shit, if I'd only done that differently today, what would happen? Mm. Well, let's look at what would happen. And it makes you think about
Christmas
those tiny
Carol
little
kind of things, isn't it?
And it's those split second moments where if you'd just done something slightly differently, maybe life would have turned out differently.
Sliding doors.
Yes, that's the word. That's the what one. I was trying to think of. But yeah, it's
only you could turn back time.
What I think of more than the film is the Aqua song, which is
because it was a tune.
Song.
Yeah,
it was a good song.
It was
a
tune.
It's a great album. First album I ever bought.
My oh my.
It's a good one. I have to say goodbye to you and I.
It's like, do I start?
We all
know the words. Come on.
We all.
So yeah, that was good. And I read Paper Girls Volume 2. Paper Girls being it's three girls on a paper round. A new girl moves to town and joins the paper round route and the strange alien rumblings. The first issue was very much female Goonies / Stand By Me-esque caper, lots of 80s references because it's set in the early 80s. The second one sees them, different change of pace, lots more action in this one. I don't want to give too much away because I don't really know myself. If you've not seen a film trailer and you don't want to say, because you don't know how it's described on
how it was marketed, so
how
you don't know
that's the one,
what
how
would
yeah.
be a spoiler.
So just say, in the second issue, when this happens, if you've not read the first one, I've just spoiled.
Like,
kind of
saying the visions in Avengers Age of Ultron's a spoiler, but the trailers gave it away,
wouldn't
be a spoiler.
There you go, thank you, So yeah, the second one just sort of ramps it up a notch and is a lot more action-packed and interesting, and the story's gone in a really strange direction, so I'm excited to read more, but Paper Girls is one that I see quite often in the top comic section. When you go into comic shops, it's in the top 10. So I thought, I've got to give it a go, and it's well worth a read. So yeah, Paper Girls, I can recommend, and Seconds. Yeah.
If I look
about
up
you?
The name,
have you guys read anything or?
Of the one I read?
What have I read? I read Dark Side War.
What's that one?
It's a Justice League book.
Okay.
That was good. As far as DC events go, I'm years behind. I've just bought Rebirth. And that's it. I've not been reading.
What's the general premise of it? So obviously Darkseid's the villain, right? Is that
the Anti-Monitor goes to war with Darkseid, and in the process things happen.
Right.
Where it creates a sort of tear in the sort of fabric of reality, so all the Justice League kind of become gods.
Oh wow! Okay.
So Batman becomes the god of knowledge. Goes on Metron's chair and knows the answers to everything, including who the Joker is and stuff like that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And
sounds...
Batman, Superman comes to God of Strength, stuff like that. Yeah. They all become overpowered for various reasons. It's interesting. It's cool. Just a throwaway kind of Justice League trashy event. I've been spending all my precious free time playing Dragon Ball Fusions for the 3DS. Which I think is an amazing game.
Is it a fighting game or like an RPG?
It's like a RPG Pokemon-esque sort of game.
So the battles last for
I love Dragon Ball Z, obviously. I like Dragon Ball games, but a lot of them are like quite forgettable fighters with the same story. Like Budokai 3 is my favourite, but they're all kind of variations on them. But I always like the Legacy of Goku series, which is an RPG on the Game Boy Advance. And this is like that. Coupled with the overworld of Budokai 3, coupled with a cool battle system in a Pokemon-esque way. So you collect people and fuse them together and collect more people and work through the story. And it's just really fun. I've wasted about 50 hours on it in the past month.
I've read Through the Woods by Emily Carroll. I say read, I've nearly finished it. But I definitely will comment on it because I plan to have a big reading session before the next podcast. But it's a beautiful book. It's basically kind of ghost tales, lore tale, you know what I mean? From and it's very creepy. Beautiful artwork. And it really uses the frame, the page really well. It's not a conventional kind of comic layout. And it just tells these stories like you'd tell around the fire, you know, or you'd hear the legend of this old house and things.
And then he was dead. And then he had an eye.
Banging on the car and it turned out.
And they never saw them again.
Well, they're all kind of set in like Victorian times. Like there is one where a woman's being chopped to bits in the house and the woman who's moved in just keeps hearing her singing and things. And
right.
She has to put her back together. And it's really just macabre but beautiful.
Nice.
And I love that. I absolutely love that. I just walked into page 45 in Nottingham when I was in Nottingham. And I thought, well, it's a great independent comic shop. We don't have many of those near us.
No,
so I've got to pick something up. And I just kind of went with my kind of instincts on it and picked it up. And it was a great read.
Well, good.
Sometimes you just got to do that. Game-wise.
I was about to say games with you.
Skyrim. Being introduced in Skyrim, but told off that I cannot be call myself a geek if I haven't played Skyrim.
Mm-hmm. Lies.
It's not like, well, it is not really, but you know, Skyrim. Yeah, it's one of those. I think it's more like an RPG kind of. If you like those kind of open world games, Skyrim is one of the great ones, and I love. I think it's really good. You know, but I was saying to Steve is I think I've ruined my gaming palette by playing GTA 5 too much, which is very ADHD, quick, jump in a car, zip around, jump out, shoot, fall over. There's nothing.
Because you were trying Zelda as well, weren't you?
Yeah, Zelda got fed up and told what to do.
Yeah.
And again, that's GTA. I have no rules in GTA. Mm. I get in my car and drive around and run people over and shoot people and buy some clothes and put a hat on. And
but you
around.
See, the I enjoy a bit of that. In quick bursts, but I need to know this progress when I'm playing a game. I need to know I'm somehow progressing.
Yeah.
I know it's not accomplishing something, but like faux accomplishing something when I'm playing a game, even if it's I caught 3 Pokemon.
Yeah.
Or do you know what I mean? Like,
I'm the same. I put GTA on and razz around for a bit, and then go right. I'll do a mission, and then it loads, and then I get kicked out of the session. Then I try and do something, and I don't feel like I've achieved anything, and I'm like, oh fuck it, I'll play something else.
I can't do
what you do, where you just.
But that's
razz.
It. I'm even bad in that sense because there is progression on GTA Online. You do the missions and you do things. I don't even do that because boring, isn't it? Just want to drive around, and other people go, well, that's boring. Just driving around the same streets, doing the same things. Like, there's something quite freeing about just turning your brain off and driving.
Completely.
A couple of years ago, I had like a Minecraft kick, and I was like,
oh, God,
building shit. But the problem is, like, you get that sense of progress that keeps you going, and you invest so much fucking time. But then you just get to that point, you go, I've forgotten why I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Because it's not for an achievement, and the game won't end.
And then
you just kind of stop, because I need that, like, why am I doing this?
I've just built a giant Pikachu, great, now what?
Even if it's just to complete the game. I need that thing, or I can't.
Mm.
But, to turn on my stupid head off and playing Skyrim, it's an amazing game. It is like being in Lord of the Rings.
Mm.
I the world is fantastic. The level of creation and like diversity and direction you can go in all the time. It isn't a game where you will end up the same as someone else. You know, you will have your own game experience. Yeah, there's the main quest and this, that, and the other. But you develop your character. You do what your character does. You can focus on either being like a warrior or a wizard or I don't know. I'm using the wrong words, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But it's amazing that it has that depth of just brilliantnessness, and I really enjoy that. And it feels slow as well. It reminds me of my Red Dead days, like having to travel around that map. At least you had a fucking horse. So that's like slow, but again, I think that's GTA rubbing off on me. But again, like dragons and lions and tigers are mine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just, I appreciate it.
I know Mark thoroughly loves it. The Sword is Drawn, he does our comics section. He's played it. He has numerous games on the go at any one time, and he's played it in various guises on different consoles.
That's
last time we spoke to him, he mentioned it. Loved it.
If I'm playing a video game, I have to play that video game until I finish that video game and then get a new video game. I can't just go, oh, I'll play this for 10 minutes and then I'll play on that. I have to commit myself to a game for a while.
Mm. I bought Doom.
And you had just, Doom, didn't you?
No, I only had the demo. I finally bought Doom because it was only £15. And that's just... it's fucking hard, but it's so much fun that I don't care. Yeah. You know some games where you just keep dying and dying and dying? Okay, you get annoyed after about 2 hours, but... it's just fun. It's gory. It's brutal. It's over the top. And then the online is just stupidly fun. And even, it's not like one of these Call of Duty where you go on and everyone just snipes you and it's like, oh, everyone's really good. It's just, it's so...
oh, like when we went on Star Wars. It's so fun
and bonkers. Oh, Battlefront, yeah. Yours. Oh, jeez.
And I was really psyched for this game. I'd heard there were no, like, one-player capabilities, which I always think's a bit shit, because how are you supposed to get good to get to that level?
Yeah.
Just even if it's a rudimentary shit one, just provide one just to learn, if nothing else. And then, we were taking turns and we couldn't even do anything.
It was awful.
No, we couldn't do a fucking thing.
Whereas this is just so batshit crazy and you spawn again almost instantly. It's just like, just keep going. Which, it's really good fun and silly and all the games are stupid. There's freeze tag where you have to freeze people and you thaw each other out and chase each other around. It's like last man standing. It's like team has two people again, and it's just, there's loads of just silly little variants on these online games that just make it fun.
That's another, just to sing the praises of GTA again. The finer balances those games in the sense that you can go and do what you want in online, but if you do get caught in the middle of the kind of skirmish between online players, you can play that. But also it has a really fair spawn thing, like it'll spawn you just far enough away that if you want to go away from them, you can.
You just walk off.
But if you want to engage them,
you can go again. It's really clever with that. But I'm just singing its praises now.
No, and then, they're still pouring content into it, and new modes and new things
it's
on
there. It's a good game, and this is why people like open world games. Just for me, when I play something like Grand Theft Auto, I'll do a few missions, and then when I'm getting bored, I will go on a little spree, and that's my getting it out of my system.
Same with me.
But I can't go on and just do nothing but that.
No.
Because I just go, what am I doing?
Yeah. I ain't going there.
I'm the same. I'm exactly the same. I like a nice little, oh, that's fun. And like Simon plays, like my housemate plays it. And I can sit and watch him play it. It's a nice game to just watch someone play. But
it's different when you include others.
I can't.
You have a bit of a daft laughter.
But I can't. I can't play it for ages.
I wanted to. I should have done this off air, but fuck it. We got rid of the curtain ages ago. We break the fourth wall.
Okay.
We're the Deadpool of Geekcom podcast. But I was thinking, I quite enjoy Recommend Decommend. And we always do it on the second week. And I wouldn't change that for the world.
Okay.
But I want to do it on the first week as well.
As well.
But not with films we've watched, just with random topics.
Topics?
Like we don't have to do this. And you can edit all this out if you don't want to. But stuff like best Keanu Reeves film.
And it's time for the news. What time is it?
It's time for the news. It's my turn.
It's his turn.
It's about half past... oh, it's the news.
Don't break the fourth wall.
Tell you already have, like, 14 times.
You put that wall up, I'll fucking attack that wall. But if you tell them
what time it is...
Shakespeare on fucking crack.
I'm fucking claustrophobic, mate. I'll knock that fourth wall down.
Fucking,
We're not so much... we don't have a fourth wall, we're like a gazebo. You can see right through us.
I got the wrong news there.
Is the fourth wall breaking in Shakespeare actually lazy writing? I'm just going to explain what's happening in the scene.
Well, it's tough to say, isn't it? Because it depends what the customs of the time were. Because you're still building up a lot of the language of theatre and stuff. So maybe it was to usher it along. But we only ever study Shakespeare. We don't study contemporary things around him. So I don't know what's him, what's the times, and what's... But we just equate it to him, don't we?
Richard Pennyworth never gets a...
no, Richard Pennyworth was fucking good as well. Barry and June was one of my favourites of his, actually. Very similar. I think Shakespeare might have copied from that a bit.
Keith the Trog Troll.
Keith the Trog Troll were good. Baconlet.
Baconlet. Brilliant. Steve, what's the news?
Sounds like a really crap breakfast product. Yeah, I don't know.
For diets, for like, yeah. Yeah, for baconlet.
New baconlet. Cut it, grill it, fry it.
Just shove it in your face.
Game over, man. Game over. Sadly, actor Bill Paxton has passed away, age 61. The character actor performed in the new wave group Martini Ranch in the 80s. He played, among other roles, John Garrett in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He was in Edge of Tomorrow, Titanic, Twister, Apollo 13. He was Chet in Weird Science, obviously Hudson in Aliens, Terminator, Predator 2, and is the only actor and man to have been killed by an alien, a Terminator, and a Predator. That's an awesome legacy to leave behind, but sad news.
Why is my instinct every fucking time to tell the worst fucking joke after that?
Because
I almost added to the list.
Okay.
In a horrible way. I was affected by it, though, honestly. I don't like to hear of any death of anyone I know. But when they've touched your life in any sort of way, it's worse. But every so often one comes from left field and you feel weirdly affected, and this was one of those times.
That's why, yeah. I had to bring this one, it was.
Yeah, he's just a consistent in kind of geeky movies, big mainstream geeky movies. He's that guy who's just... He never was a lead role, really. But he always is a great supporter.
You knew him character. James Cameron more or less packed his bags with him every film he set everyone on.
Yeah, definitely.
And he's a very likeable character as well. But kind of a dick at the same time.
He could play
a dick. Yeah, definitely.
But he had a range to him. And he was great. And like you've listed so many things there that have... And will withstand the test of time.
Exactly.
So
I mean, that just that list alone is incredible.
His face will be plastered in cinema history. So,
but still, now Bill Paxman and John Pullman. What? You're going to know the difference.
It's no better. It's just like it's not helped.
Yeah. So
I've never understood that. I can understand getting their names confused, but the difference between them is obvious.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like, it's obvious.
Yeah. It's like bringing it up. Yeah, sad to see him go.
But what an awesome legacy of work, and like those films will, pretty much everything he's been in will and have stood the test of time. Yeah. It's an incredible list, so... Yes. Deadpool creator Rob Liefeld took to Twitter to announce that Russell Crowe should read for the part of Cable in the upcoming movie Deadpool 2. Crowe initially wasn't taken by this, but then added Ryan Reynolds, saying that if he had any interest, he'd find a way. Fan art then appeared online following this conversation. The working title for Deadpool 2 is Love Machine, which I guess they might keep or they'll probably ditch. But it's going to be released on March 2nd.
I don't think they will keep it.
Or, well, I don't know. Or June 29th, which are the two dates that 20th Century Fox has lined up for X-Men/Marvel-related properties. But it's just interesting that that's the way of the world now. You know, we got this clip from Ryan Reynolds and the world went mad and we got the movie and now he's going, hey, you should be Cable in the movie. And they're having this back and forth on Twitter and people are doing fan art. I think that's brilliant.
There were weird, like, who's writing it thing going around as well. Cause
was there?
Everyone was saying it was Ryan Reynolds and... what's the new director of it? I forget. whoever's taking over directing, yeah. It'll jump into my brain as soon as we start recording.
Oops. I've forgotten.
But apparently they were writing it and I went, well, that's stupid. Because... the whole reason the first one worked was good writing and well acted. Yeah. They're the two things. Like, you can get away with not having Tim Miller. He made the good film, and he made a good film, but the two things that made that work was the writing and the character. And then you're going to get rid of one of them.
David Leitch.
There you go.
Leitch, V for Vendetta and Fight Club.
But apparently they had to come out and go, no, calm yourselves, the Zombieland writers are still doing the sequel, so it'll be the same. So I think it'll be good. I don't think Russell Crowe has to read for shit.
No, that's why it was like, after what? And you just added Ryan Reynolds.
And I also think he'd be really good in that role.
Yeah? The fan art looked pretty cool.
And, spoilers for next week, but I watched him in a film the other day where I can really... he could easily fit into that sort of comedy styling as the straight man quite well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Gladiator. He's got a great... great back and forth with Queen Phoenix.
I look forward to next week.
I'd be howling at it.
Gladiator.
Hilarious.
Staying with X-Men news, the X-Men theme. Fox's X-Men TV series that's been in development for some time now, the as-yet untitled show, has been described as an action-adventure pilot and has reached casting stages. Stephen Moyer, who played the vampire Bill Compton in HBO's True Blood, has been cast in the lead role.
Action-adventure pilot sounds like it would be the front of an action man box.
Yeah, it sounds a bit weird.
It sounds like the character description for Hal Jordan.
Yeah. He's going to play Reed, a father who is a lawyer for the DA that discovers along with his wife that his children are actually mutants. Blair Redford, Jamie Chung of Gotham, is going to play Blink in the TV show.
The thing is, we're Legion that's out, and Marvel are doing the Inhumans, which are just mutants by another name.
Mm.
And then this. I mean, superheroes are thriving on television, and I think that'll just grow because it's probably a more obvious vehicle for them, for more serialised fiction. But the same way people talk about, oh, there's too many superhero movies, even though it objectively there's like four.
Yeah.
But it seems like a lot because they're big fanfare films. Yeah. But like when you seriously might be talking about 10 or 11 on any given week on TV, like, I am the target audience for all those shows, and I cannot watch 11 shows. Just, no. Do you know what I mean? So I worry a bit about all these ones coming out.
And if three of them are X-Men mutant based, you're gonna watch one, aren't you?
So and then no offense to Fox, but with their history, I gravitate to the CW shows and then Marvel rather than to Fox, because when they do finally have a gem, they'll cancel it after the first season. Bring it back for a movie, and then
it's true.
But you know, I'll you wait with interest. Yeah. I'll watch it if it's any good.
Give it a go, see what happens. Batman news: whilst coming out of the very mixed Batman vs Superman reception, it was seeming that all eyes were on Ben Affleck to bring the DC Extended Universe the saving grace as the actor and director of the solo Batman movie. Well, he's now dropped out of the director's slot and will produce and star only. The directing lead goes to Matt Reeves, who now also has final say and creative control over the project. As he's shown with Cloverfield and Planet of the Apes franchise, he does have the ability to craft complex and detailed worlds. There's no script rewrite scheduled yet. The script by Terry O'Affleck and Jeff Johns still remains at this moment.
You know what? Might be a good idea, because Ben Affleck's not done that kind of movie, whereas I'd say definitely Cloverfield and Planet of the Apes, they're definitely more the kind of area with the blockbuster size kind of thing. But still happening, isn't it?
I'm fed up with this conversation, so I'll keep it brief. But I completely get and understand and agree and whatever else we want to say that the DC Extended Universe is divisive. You can't escape that fact.
Mm-hmm.
However, it is successful. It depends how you want to define success, but it is successful, hence why there's several more films coming and more announced every day. But the thing is, there's such a fucking, like, almost hysterical anti-DC bandwagon where every bit of news is latched on in terms of, oh, look at this absolute concrete evidence it's in trouble.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but, like, it happens everywhere. That's the movie industry. Mm. We weren't saying Marvel are going bust because Ant-Man lost Edgar Wright.
Mm.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like,
well, the thing is, Kevin Smith was saying on the podcast that he'd like Ben Affleck was said, basically, that it's a lot of pressure acting and directing in a movie, and he wants to give his all to the character and be on screen and be Batman.
He's north of 50.
But if he's got a direct as well, he can't give that acting role his all. So he stepped down.
He's north of 50. He has to get in fit fighting shape.
Yeah.
He's got to lead a blockbuster film on the back of his shoulders, where he'll be in every fucking scene, and you want him to direct it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Where that's you're dedicating 3 years worth of work into 2 years as he does three people's jobs.
Yeah,
and he's gone, I want this to be good because it's very important. This is good.
Mm.
Maybe I need to take a step back.
Yeah.
And the obvious one he can do is directing. I really hate this fucking Marvel DC thing. I like them both, but my Marvel centric anti DC mate was going, oh, it's obviously because the script's shit, and I went, that's weird because he's written it.
he's written it along with
I don't want to be in my own film that I've written because it's shit. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's just like any excuse to fucking to chuck mud. Like, you know what? If it turns out to be shit, you'll have years to tell me how shit it is.
But it's not out yet.
It's just not made. Yeah. It's not fucking gone anywhere. And they've got a good director in.
Yeah.
And they've got good names in
it. I mean, the Planet of the Apes franchise is
and they were the best bit of Batman Superman. And all the reasons that film didn't work shouldn't be in this. Yeah. So, fucking deal with it.
Fucking yeah.
Just get a chance.
That thing happened at the Oscars where the wrong film was announced as the winner. And it took the internet by storm. Lol. But yeah, we had the Oscars. They happened. We had the... Got a full list of winners if we want to briefly touch on the Oscars.
But I don't even know.
I'm not that bothered, but I just thought I didn't know if you guys want to bring it up.
On this point, Suicide Squad is an Oscar-winning
movie. Yes. So Best Pick was Moonlight, which was announced as La La Land.
Because, it was weird that the film with the black gay lead won. A year after all that controversy. It's weird that. If only someone put some money on that and won a few quid. Me.
It's meant to be really good.
Honestly, I've studied film, I love film, and I get why it's an event, I get why people are interested, but it's literally just a trivia question for a future quiz.
Yeah.
They don't matter.
No.
The Academy's flawed. Yeah. Like they disqualify half of the genres on principle.
Yeah.
It's flawed. The average voter's a 70-year-old white man from California who's in a Hollywood bubble.
Nobody
bubble.
Knows how they got voted in or why they're doing
like,
it.
Yeah. None of it matters. No. La La Land's no worse film. Moonlight's no better film.
Yeah.
If anything, it just brings a bit more shine to a film that probably needed it, like Moonlight. Good for that. Yeah. Good for that. I don't care. So everyone's told me, Suicide Squad should have won a thing. Best makeup, does that affect you?
No.
Do you actually have a visceral opinion as to what the best makeup of the year was?
Yeah, exactly. Any excuse to jump in
it's not validating the film. It's saying, that prosthetic crocodile looked cool.
The makeup was really well. They look really like the comic book characters.
Take your thoughts and feelings from that film away. Yeah, it had good makeup.
Yeah, it did.
You know what? Doctor Strange had good effects. That's why you were nominated. Take everything you want to think and feel about the film away.
Yeah.
But needless to say, I'm still interested.
But we got director Damien Chazelle, La La Land. It did look beautiful. Mm-hmm. It was really... I thought the direction was
incredible. His name, but the guy who did Arrival to win that.
I see, I've not seen that, so I don't... Yeah.
Only because I found it more striking and interesting, but like...
I think La La Land captured that old school musical. Best actor was Casey Affleck in Manchester by the Sea.
This is the other thing with Oscars, and I'm guilty of this. People will watch 2 out of 5 nominees and have a really strong opinion about what should win. I've literally just done it, but everyone does it. And I just I just think, you've not watched them all.
Because I've seen La La Land.
You have no idea.
Utter a word of judgment until you've seen, especially if you're deciding. You obviously can utter a word of judgment.
Yeah, if you've seen it all in that
but
category.
But it's the fervent he should win.
Yeah, yeah. If it's a choice between 2 films you've seen, you might be able to say that.
Yeah, you can have an opinion.
But Moonlight shouldn't have won. I've not seen Moonlight, I don't know. I have no idea.
No.
I made a joke at the Academy's expense, but I've heard it's really good.
Yeah, it's incredible,
But I've heard so much that this should win, that should win. Have you seen them? Because some aren't out yet.
Yeah. So well done.
Came out this week. Exactly,
yeah. Best actress was Emma Stone in La La Land.
Who keeps caught in the Oscars these days?
She's got quite the resume these days.
You see,
when you sit down and go through it.
See, I'm doing it now. Natalie Portman in Jackie was incredible. Jackie was incredible, and I've seen both, and I think. Yeah,
but she had to sing and dance.
I'm doing it. Supporting actor Mahershala Ali in Moonlight. Supporting actress Viola Davis in Fences. Screenplay Manchester by the Sea. Best adapted screenplay was Moonlight. Best cinematography was La La Land. Best animated film, Zootopia. So we've got that in common. Visual effects was Jungle Book. good. Makeup Suicide Squad. Score and song.
Well, there's a picture. I can't remember what the other film is, but there's a picture of this really impressive alien prosthetic from one of the other nominees. Forgive me for not remembering what it is. And then a picture of the bit where Harley Quinn's makeup smeared.
Oh, I've seen that, yeah.
And then they go, that won the best Oscar.
Really?
And I'm like,
yeah, I saw
really, you've gone out your way to take some makeup out of context. Yeah.
That's the picture that was with this article.
Not the fucking prosthetic crocodile stood there for the entire film. And that's what the prejudice in reporting that's pissing. That's just a joke. I don't care. It made me smile.
It did make me chuckle.
But it's literally everywhere. They can't catch a break. It's getting a bit annoying now. Score and song, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and editing Hacksaw Ridge, which again I've not seen, so I can't.
Cool.
But that was the Oscars. They happened again.
Done. Tick.
Cool. I'm glad that's out of the way.
Moving on. Another DC extended universe movie is heading to our screens.
Sounds shit.
Off the back of the recent Lego Batman movie.
Sounds awful.
Helmed by Chris McKay. Nightwing is one of three rumored projects.
It's good now because it's Batman, but it's the Lego one.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Now it's good. now you've got my interest.
I love DC.
I've always loved DC.
Live action or Lego, but yeah, Nightwing is one of three projects in development, which also includes Gotham City Sirens, Suicide Squad 2, and Nightwing, which suggests the DCU will follow a similar continuity to the one in the comics. If we're getting a Nightwing movie.
I don't know. I'm slightly ignorant when it comes.
There was a big chunk of the article where it mentioned all the references and why they think it's going to follow.
But are those references there because of the writers and not the director?
I don't know. It mentioned like the Robin suit and all the little nods to.
It pours Easter eggs from every fibre it's being like about. But I can see why it'd be an easy to chuck the gig at. I love Nightwing as a character. I watched the shit out of that. I always wanted him to have a TV show. A bit like Daredevil.
He's definitely that was the ideal, wasn't it, for a long
separate time? Separate him from Batman, establish him on TV, then you have your Batman without having it, because the shadow of Batman's there.
Similar to Gotham.
But you give him a medium and arena to flesh him out in a way that's not like, I'd rather watch Batman. So that's how I'd do it, but I'm not going to say no to Nightwing. Gotham City Sirens, it's just an obvious, it's a good way to spin off Harley Quinn if you feel the need to spin off Harley Quinn. I like the fact they're talking about Black Mass for that. Suicide Squad 2 just makes sense financially.
Yeah, of course it does.
I didn't like the rumour about Mel Gibson directing
it. No, I think that has been quashed now.
I mean, it's tough, isn't it? Because if you can separate the man and the work, he's clearly a talented director. But I can't.
No.
I wish I could.
No. It's Roman Polanski syndrome.
I just can't do it.
Woody Allen syndrome, yeah.
Yeah, I just can't do it at all. It'd sour me to watch that film. Yeah. And, spent the year defending it. I'm hoping that's not true.
I don't think.
And plus, you don't even like comic book films. He was slagging them off last year.
It was, yeah.
DC ones, I think. Yeah, it's like a Batman Superman.
See what happens with those.
It's all go. Yeah, you know, Shazam. It's coming out. There's a couple of Shazams: Justice League, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Flash.
Fucking everywhere.
They're insisting on a cyborg film. Even I don't give a shit about that.
Oh god, yeah, Cyborg looked awful in that thing, the bit we've seen.
I am a huge DC fan.
Yeah.
Like, huge. And all I think every time I read a Justice League comic is, why Cyborg in it?
Yeah.
He's like established as like one of the seven key people these days. And I just think, I just wish you were Martian Manhunter. Every time I pick up a Justice League book, I go, why aren't you Martian Manhunter? Fuck off.
My head
who apparently has gone down really well in the new Supergirl.
He's there, but he's there because he's diverse.
Martian Manhunter's doing well in Supergirl.
He's awesome.
You're picking up a lot on the diversity today.
They have so many cool, diverse characters Just have Jon Stewart in. Just have bloody Martian Manhunter is always played by an African American.
Well, leading nicely on Batwoman's the picking up on.
You've got so many, I think, but to pick the most boring fucking one is, I'm a robot. Yeah. I'm half robot. Boom.
Great. Thanks.
It's like, you bore me. Like, Iron Man without the personality.
Yeah. Staying with the, on a theme, really, Doctor Who boss Chris Chibnall has spoken out about the next Doctor Who. He's going to take over when Peter Capaldi and Stephen Moffat leave at the end of this year, which will be Moffat's and Capaldi's final one.
Miss Moffat.
The rumours that have been around that Tilda Swinton has been eyed for the role of Doctor Who, he took to the stage and said, basically, I can honestly say that nothing's been decided yet. I haven't even got my feet under the table. I'm working on a play at the minute. I'm directing. I'm doing other things. I don't even know what's happening. Nothing's ruled out. I don't want the casting to be a gimmick. That's all I can say. I know where the story's going, and we're going to write the script and then find the best person for that part.
Right on, and this is the point that needs to be made. Yeah. Again, every time this comes about, it's all about there should be a black James Bond, there should be a female Doctor Who,
that's also a rumour at the minute, the Bond.
Be the right person for the job, and that may be this, that, and the other.
It's what they happen to be.
I agree. I think that it would be fine to have a woman Doctor Who, but that's not the point, you know. But Tilda Swinton would be a great Doctor Who.
This is our point, right? Tilda Swinton is it. That's just a good person for that role. So yeah, it's like happenstantial it'd be a woman, because that's someone who could fill that role. Mm-hmm. But when he has top five women who could be it, no, you're just looking for it. Why does it have to be a woman? Same with black actors, like Idris Elba would be a fucking amazing James Bond.
Yeah.
But if you're looking beyond him because you want a black James Bond, then why do you want a black James Bond? Because you want the gimmick. Whereas, like, I know there's boundaries, and people want to make a point and broaden it.
Yeah, I don't know if there is a problem that there is a too much typecasting of this.
But it's almost intentional gimmicks for good reasons, but you're still doing it, and it's just annoying. And they made the Master into a woman in the last series, which was almost a wink nod to the last time they wanted Doctor Who to be a woman. And weirdly, that makes me less want it to be a woman, because you've already played that in the show already, if you know what I mean. Like, just in a show aspect, because you've played that card now. Do you know what I mean?
It shouldn't be a card to be played.
No, but like the Master were recast as a woman, and really good. But then, if Doctor Who's a woman as well, you've just made both into a woman one year after other, and it just seems weird in show, if you know what I mean. I'm not talking about, like, because it doesn't matter like, if you're Tilda Swinton or whatever. But I just mean, it's, like, I thought they did that to stop this. It hasn't, if you know what I mean.
No, definitely. But, like,
if they hadn't done that, I would have no question.
Yeah, I mean, this guy comes from his theatre background, and he just said, we'll do it the old school way, write a script and go, yeah, let's audition these people and see who works. Which, yeah, how it should be done. So Hellboy 3 keeps coming up in the news, and whilst we'd all love it to happen, Ron Perlman went on record as saying it's a discussion worth having. After a huge Twitter debate and a poll, I can't even make out my own words, my brain's broken. Twitter poll unanimously said yes, they'd like a sequel. They all went into talks, where Del Toro said he'd go into talks if it got the right amount of votes. He went into talks with Ron Perlman and Mike Mignola to discuss its possibility, and then took to Twitter and said it's 100% the sequel will not happen. No other detail, but that is to be the final thing I will say about it.
So they had a big argument.
They all met up, and because Twitter said, yeah, we want it, and they just take it to Twitter and go, stop talking about it, it's not happening.
The thing is with these...
Which is a shame.
The thing is with these sort of things is a time limit.
Yeah. There's a,
like, I always use Sin City as a great argument for this.
Yeah, exactly.
Sin City had a 2-year window that everyone loved that film. And if you chucked a sequel out in the next 2 years after that, we'd have all loved it. You wait 10 years and we'd all moved on and none was giving a shit.
Mm-hmm.
Hellboy, I'd love to see it return, but we're entering that period. By the time they'd made it, I'd have probably gone, like, I fucking love Firefly, but we're at the point now, they've aged too much and it'd be too weird and I don't want to see it.
No.
Do you know what I mean? You do have a window.
There's campaigns for things that need to just,
stop now. So Dread, I wanted a sequel to Dread so badly, and I'd love a Netflix show. But we're probably, if it don't happen in two or 3 years, I don't want it at all.
Yeah.
Because we're passing that window now. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. When everyone involved is saying yes and it's not happening, then there's a reason.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Nice, short, simple news story. Jon Favreau's taken The Lion King, has a new cast. Donald Glover as Simba, and of course Mufasa will be voiced by James Earl Jones.
That's the good news.
We said that, didn't we? I think we more or less said, like, whoever they cast, just keep that one.
You can, and why wouldn't you? It would work. So, yeah.
And I love Donald Glover. He can do anything.
Yeah, Donald Glover's brilliant. So I'm intrigued to, and the singing, and he'd be brilliant. But yeah, that's the only news we know about it. We're getting James Earl Jones.
Already. John Favreau, done like Jungle Book, Lion King, songs are in, them characters. That's all I need. Don't even give me a trailer. Yeah. I'll turn up tomorrow.
Definitely. Jobs are good. Oh,
I can't wait. I know. Now.
Yes. Yes.
I think that's it, and it really resonates that character is James Earl Jones. Yes. It's like Vader. It is James
It's Earl. Weird. Yeah. I went to see it live in London. And like you've got a little kid running around and everyone playing these roles and it's all impressive and cool and a great production. But I was just watching this Mufasa and there was nothing wrong with him. Absolutely nothing wrong. Brilliant. Like could sing, I'm just going, you're not James Earl Jones. It's like watching Darth Vader with a different voice and you're just going, no.
No.
Still a film, I must have seen it countless times. Yeah. It's still there's bits that make my heartbreak.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously, Mufasa's death, and when he returns in the clouds.
Simba. Remember. You are a baboon.
Oh, it's such a good film.
I'm going to watch it now.
It is so good.
See you.
It just leaves. We'll just continue.
After 17 years of playing Professor X, Sir Patrick Stewart has said in an ITV
Professor
interview,
10.
Professor 10. That next year's Wolverine 3 will probably be the last. Although he has said, I'd imagine this is probably the end of this franchise for me. But the thing about science fiction and fantasy is, you can never ever say it's the end. It's over. So he's kind of said it is the last, but...
I'm curious, what's next year's Wolverine 3? Do you mean out right now, Logan?
Oh, 2018, they're doing Wolverine 3.
That's Logan out now, isn't it?
No, they're doing Wolverine 3.
That's separate to Logan, that's out now.
Yes.
Is that real? Have I missed
that? No, I missed this. And I said, in an interview talking about Wolverine 3, 2018, said it will probably be his last appearance. And I went, what the shit?
I got told Logan was his last appearance. And everyone's praising it. And I was having the conversation earlier. Because he can't escape the character. Will he leave on a high now he's finally made a good Wolverine film? Or will he insist on doing another because he's finally done a good one? And you're telling me he's already decided he's doing it. So is
it... Well, it said Wolverine 3, 2018 when I read it, but...
But is that just not changed? Because Logan might have moved. I think it's Logan.
I'm sure it's his last one. It's got to be.
I've not seen it yet, but everyone's told me, like, unanimously positive things.
Doing the news, I saw lots of unanimously positive.
People are like, Fox have finally fucking done it, sort of shit.
I'm looking forward to it. And lastly, after 25 years, the R.L. Stine penned book series is still going strong with a total of 200 books to date and over 400 million copies sold. That's right, Goosebumps. And to celebrate, there's a spin-off series, Slappy World. Remember Slappy, the ventriloquist dummy?
I've seen a film called Slappy World.
Have you? the first book, Slappy Birthday to You, is out now, and Attack on the Jack. It's the next one out on June the 2017th. Slappy the Dummy is telling the stories. So, yeah.
Was
that the one you watched?
I just
Slappy Birthday to You.
I really enjoyed that Goosebumps film.
It's good, isn't it? It's really good.
It's just like, it just reminded me of watching Jumanji as a kid. But like, it came out this year. It's weird to capture that weird effect that like no films have anymore. Of like, I did really love this as a kid.
And then
all the little cameos and things I've read as a kid.
I think that was it. Just noticing the attention to detail in the background.
Yeah, I just enjoyed it for the enjoyable family farce it was.
Really solid throwaway seven, but yeah.
Poor man's bumpy goose.
Exactly.
It's the end of the podcast, and it's that time everyone's been waiting for.
Nips Framfibs!
Yeah, Nips Framfibs!
New news!
What? Oh, hail the Newt God!
Whoop, 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 whoop! We're going to talk about the Palmate Newt.
Fantastic. What happens with the Palmate?
Newts, amphibians breeding. The smallest newt, the Palmate Newt, is peachy yellow underneath, with a few spots on the belly, but none on the throat.
Oh.
In a breeding season, males develop black webs, that would be good, wouldn't it?
Black webs.
Black webs on their hind feet.
and thin filament at the end of their tail. Females are difficult to distinguish because from female smooth newts, which is the more common.
Okay.
But the palmate, they're hard to tell, but the males are definitely different. Especially
they sound colourful, sound a bit like Pokemon.
Yeah. Where can we find them?
I don't know, really.
A very widespread species found throughout the country, except for the Scottish Islands. They're not there. And the Isle of Man and the Isles of Scilly. So they obviously don't get to islands very well.
Unless
they hitch a ride on a seagull. Who tend to eat them.
Okay.
Facts.
And jump on their back. Seagulls like eating newts.
You won't find them on Northern Ireland, and you won't find them on the Channel Islands. It's very much the south and the east of England. Farmland, heathland, towns and gardens.
I didn't know newts.
Woodland. They're towns and things. Yeah, they're living fine, but islands.
Do you know what the saddest thing about this is? This is literally the most amount of time and research and thought we've all put into this fucking podcast, and it's about fucking newts.
How long do you think the news takes, Steve?
Well, two minutes by what I just did. Fucking newts.
Yeah, it's newt. The listeners are crying out for it. Newts for anthrops.
Show me one. Show me one
I'm
fucking.
Scroll through Twitter and...
Show me one fucking positive new. Like, oh, that's great. Bring that back.
Newt user 123.
Oh, how weird.
How funny. How quirky.
just to finish, before I was really interrupted.
Yeah, go on.
You can help encourage newts and other amphibians into your garden by having a wildlife friendly pond.
Why would I want them in my garden?
A pond, okay.
I don't want them on my podcast, so you can spot
the different varieties that we speak of.
Just leave a pile of logs out for them to hibernate in as well, because they like to.
Do they hibernate in logs?
Yeah.
Oh wow!
So
cool.
Nips for amphibs. Let us know. Show us. Take some pictures of your
newt
wildlife-friendly ponds that you have, and stacks of logs.
Fucking don't. No.
And if you're having bonfires, be careful. Check your.
Why would they be having bonfires? It's fucking March.
Well, you never know. Kids stay warm. Yeah. Spring, it's still a bit
kids
nippy.
Kids stay warm.
Still a bit nippy, no, because to stay warm. It's still a bit
I thought
outside.
You said kids stay warm.
So the kids can stay warm.
Go in.
Go light fire, father. That's freezing.
What time is it, Steve?
It's time for this week. The geeks have spoken.
Oh no, you're not getting that. Not after fucking.
It's for them, it's not for us.
Do you hear that? He doesn't want
doesn't like
fanfare
you.
Here anymore.
It's spiteful.
So yeah, thank you for all your tweets, interactions, retweets and follows. Hoptimus Danky Juice, at Sparky Wright. John Wick 1, literally bloody awesome, 8 out of 10.
I'm sorry, I have to challenge that.
Okay.
It's fucking 12 out of 10. John Wick is so fucking badass. Do you know if Liam Neeson rang up in Taken, he's like, I've got a particular set of skills. And they're like, all right, well, we've given your daughter to John Wick. He'd go, keep her, hang the phone up.
Yeah.
If the Terminator went back in time and went, I'm looking for John Connor, and they went, oh, it's, sorry, you've got your wires crossed, it's John Wick you're looking for. They'd fuck off back to the future just to escape.
I'm going to throw it out because obviously recommend Ecommend next week. It's not my recommend. It's a solid 8 and it was fucking brilliant.
John Wick's amazing.
Everyone was raving about the sequel. I thought, how did I miss the first one? Right, what's the first one all about?
It.
Oh my God.
No, don't listen to that.
No.
So good.
I recommended it to you.
So good.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, danger of overhyping and whatnot.
No.
All the Taken films and all shit like that. This is that done the way I want it to be done, which is like two parts serious to one part making me laugh.
Yeah.
But just being badass.
And Keanu Reeves is fucking ace.
Oh yeah, it's a fantastic film.
Just really
love it.
Good, yeah.
I'll defend it with my dying breath, John Wick. I saw the sequel.
Yeah.
On Thursday. And the sequel's fun, and it made me really laugh in a couple of places. I love him.
Yeah, I want to watch the
badass. When the Justice League unite later in the year, and Darkseid's there, and they're wondering how they're going to win, if they all part and John Wick stood there, I know Darkseid's fucked.
Yeah, fair point. It's a fair point. Luke Pietnik, at Luke Pietnik, gang leader, retrains. Here's a shot of my Hornby Intercity 125. We'll run it and shed nostalgic tears.
Well, that's off the beaten track,
lovely,
isn't it?
It's a lovely little... Ooh.
Lovely 125, although I prefer the black-fronted ones.
Yeah?
That's the kind of white of the Leverian, the black of the
mean more to me.
You're laughing. It's true.
The reason it was the way you said it to me. It's the slingering women for some reason. It was the way you shot me a look afterwards, like it's not a black one though.
We'll have a lot of fun, but could have more, couldn't we?
Oh dear. Dave at Wilbro Junior 36 said, if they recast Logan, who do you think would make a good replacement?
It's boring because the internet's already decided and done a ton of fan picks, but I always thought Tom Hardy would be amazing.
I said Danny DeVito, short, angry, stocky man. Like in It's Always Sunny, stomping around with a cigar. But I don't know.
It'd probably have to be like fucking Martin Lawrence or something these days.
God, you certainly are wrong.
Wow.
Jesus Christ.
It'd have to be bloody Oprah Winfrey. Queen Latifah.
Any thoughts? As something brighter.
I'm joking. It's just like it's supposed to be a fucking Canadian. As long as it's a small Canadian angry man in a yellow suit,
yeah.
I'm happy.
This one's for you. Something brighter at Jen Tidder said, glad to hear Scotty Magic say A Monster Calls is good. Love the book. Wept so much, but I'm always scared of film adaptations.
She also criticised me for it's like enough Jeff from Community.
Yes.
By using the example that Andy from Parks and Recreation did. Yeah. However, he did go through an intense physical transformation to become a leading Hollywood actor. Mm-hmm. Whereas Jeff's already there and he's not being cast in shit, is he?
Well, never say never.
I'm saying never.
I don't know.
No, I'm calling it. The most he'll be is like a news reporter in a big film or something. He'll never be a Hollywood leading man in anything substantial.
You don't think?
No.
Okay.
He won't.
Yeah.
And I'm not slagging him off.
No.
I like him.
Yeah.
But he's not the same.
But he's gone through that transformation in that season. Yeah.
Whereas Andy, like, no one saw that potential in him. He needed to go through that physical... I don't know why we're calling him Andy, for Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
He went through a physical transformation to prove to everyone he could be, because he already had the charm, funny, charisma.
Okay.
So there is examples. I think Donald Glover's a better example.
Mm.
I think he can do stuff.
Donald Glover's.
I was literally just writing Jeff from Community off, not anyone from a sitcom. But I agreed with you.
Yeah.
I just was like not
never,
Jeff.
It's a
like,
never say never, but yeah.
Don't go to war about Jeff. He's not doing it anyway.
Yeah. She also said, oh my God, that Bumpy Goose was tense as fuck.
It was.
Kermit gif. Thomas Austin Morgan at Hey It's Me Tom said, guys, for your armies, you forgot Tom Cruise, fighter pilot. Vampire, Jack Reacher, Ethan Hunt, Mummy Hunter, Samurai, etc.
Finding mummies.
So, yeah.
Is that someone who works like an adoption agent?
He's also to make a mean cocktail.
Yes.
Those armies up there.
Yes, he can.
Yum, yum, yum.
Yum, yum, yum. Also, Liam Neeson. Most characters like
that's
one from
shout,
Taken.
Actually.
Tree Monster, Qui-Gon Jinn, Ra's al Ghul, Zeus, Aslan, so many.
That's
very
a very,
shout.
Very good
yeah,
show.
Good, really good show. Thank you, Tom.
Especially because he's voiced a lot of stuff as well.
Did we see the Marvel Hip Hop variant covers?
What?
They took all the classic two hip hop album covers and paid homage to them with all the different characters, but it's not going to load now. There you go. So we've got Spider-Man as Tupac.
Oh, God.
We've got Blonde and Bald. We've got the RZA and then Nick Fury.
Okay.
Agent Shield, Bobby Digital. Luke Cage is representing the Method Man one. I thought they were pretty cool.
They are. Comics have done this for years. There's always loads. You always get like Lego variant themes, fucking this, like. They rarely bear any relation to any of the stories.
Mm.
But they're cool. DC did some movie ones not long back, and there were some cool ones, but the one I really wanted was the Joker done like the mask.
Oh,
it was just
nice.
The mask poster, if you remember it, with the hat and the chap. But it was the Joker.
Oh,
I want that on my wall forever.
That's sweet. And finally, Luke Pietnik, gang leader at Luke Pietnik, says, this is a fresh tweet just in, does it bother you that Blue Peter is only on the CBBC channel?
Let me tell you some things that bother me.
Okay. Settle yourselves in, listeners.
Death. Okay. Brexit.
Yeah.
Donald Trump.
Yeah.
This slow rising anti-intellectualism, yeah, that I think's like insidiously claiming our lives. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so much that gets me pent up. But do you know what really tops the cake is? Why can't Blue Peter not be on the CBBC? Because I can't give this up. When did it change? Is it not supposed to be?
I have no idea.
Is that a bad thing?
Honestly,
does that mean it's not on telly anymore?
An article the other day that they had accidentally dug up one of the time capsules from about 1998.
Well, that did well.
Oh, right.
1996, maybe.
Can't they just
rebury it? I've got a frog in my back garden I buried as a kid.
Nibs for Amphib.
Hey,
Scott's on board. Hey-o.
Right, so they dug this up. But what really was weird about this clipping
your face, what's happening?
I don't know why that means I'm in both. I'm not saying we can't ever mention
King of the Nibs, King of the Nibs.
Scotty's
an Amphib, he's an Amphib, King of the Nibs.
Scotty, King of the Nibs.
I'm not saying we could never mention an amphibian in context.
Oh, I'm so glad that he's
on board. I know, he's finally, it's just...
Hank Scott.
Yes.
Well, the point is about this article is it had a picture of what was called Richard Bacon, who got chucked off for snorting cocaine.
Snorting drugs.
And Katie Hill, who I was in love with as a small child.
Oh, yeah.
Like it was, you know, that weird first crush you used to
have? Yeah, I had loads. Ooh. I know you can't have more than one first crush, but there's a period in. But when you're a kid and you have these weird feelings that you don't understand because you're not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
The random women, and they all look the same when I look back now.
Philippa Forrester.
I'd Philippa Forrester.
Hey! Andy Peters. I mean, Kimberly from Power Rangers.
And Jordan, his girlfriend.
And Stucks. Ooh, I'd like those. I'd make Ed.
And then, you know, they had Gordon the Gopher, brilliant. Squeaky little puppet, looked great.
Yeah.
Ed the Duck, he was a punky, cool dude.
Oh, I like Ed the Duck.
Fucking Aardvark.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Fuck you, Otis.
Otis the Aardvark.
No. Zig and Zag were fine.
Yeah.
Otis the Aardvark. Go fuck.
Zig and Zag.
You know, if I went somewhere, if I went to a cheap club and Gordon the Gopher wasn't there, but fucking Otis the Aardvark was, I'd storm out of that place. Yeah. That classy joint.
Yeah.
God, because I imagine that's what we do now.
Why would he? Oh, do you mean like when celebs tour the club scene? They're like, right. Oh, we've got Roy Walker. Gordon the Gopher in.
Because they are real
people. Yeah. Zig and Zach have just been DJing in various like northern clubs.
Oh, I'd love that. I would watch the shit out of Zig and Zag DJing in northern clubs.
I know, and they probably fucking
I'd
do.
DJ battle. You have Zig and Zag on that side, and then the Chuckle Brothers on the other.
In a silent disco.
If I ever get married, I'm just gonna have so many weird requests like that. Just like, I refuse to get married until you find me Zig and Zag to DJ. And just see how committed my wife to be is.
I want that to happen right
how
now.
How many hoops can you jump?
The Wheatley Geeks beat Weekenders. And then Scott get married and we can do that.
In fact, Joe, like we do Comic Cons occasionally. Mm. Next time we go to Comic Con, can we go with Zig Zag and Chris Evans?
You have to have a guest in front of yourself.
Yeah, you do.
With a curtain.
That would be amazing.
I don't even care which of those three I am.
That would be amazing.
Just the effect of it and everyone going, have you guys come with the big breakfast? Which has been the best moment of my life.
We've set it down now. We've got to I'll look into it.
But can we be like really hideous human forms of Zig and Zag?
Would people get it there?
Yeah.
Of
course they would.
What are you? We're the big breakfast!
Oh, goodness.
And then
you'd have to only have one army.
You know, so. If someone wants to join us, we'll be like, well, you'd have to be Johnny Vaughan, and then just walk a bit back behind. Come on.
And Melinda, what was it? Melanie Sykes.
Did she do it? She did it for a bit.
Yeah, Mel Sykes did it for a bit.
Cool. Well, thank you for listening. You can find us on iTunes, Speaker, Stitcher, and Podcast Land. Next week, we'll be recommending and decommending and bumpy goosing and something else.
Ooh.
But, yeah, do throw your contributions at Weekly Geek Speak. You nibs for amphibs at facebook.com/weeklygeekspeak. And check us out on Instagram. Thank you for listening.